Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Whiston, self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this week's episode of Sustainable You. You're here with Jackie
and Lisa. Hi guys. We're actually on Skype today, so the sound quality might be a little bit different because we decided that our time was precious and we didn't want to waste time for Jackie traveling over to my house. So she's dialing in on Skype and I get to still see her face, but she sounds a little bit different. She's still her.
So you. And also the fact that I guess we can do maybe like an hour recording and that's half the travel time that it takes me to get to you. So we're always finding that we were running out of time by the end of the, you know, by the time
session.
We catch up and then do this, do that. It'll save us time but also save us on that precious resource that we're trying to limit our usage on of fossil fuels and oil.
Yeah, and carbon. That's a lot less carbon that you've put into the air today, which is awesome.
Go us.
Go us. So today we thought we would dial it back and talk about our homes again. We tossed up calling this episode Sustainable Homes or DIY, but we wanted to talk to you about some of the things that we can do in our own home that will both limit the junk that we're putting into our homes and our bodies, and also making use of some natural kind of products and limit the wastage of buying new things all the time.
And, you know, although, say if you walk into a supermarket, you know, there is that sort of saying that maybe we should get Mary to check our fact checker to check that you shouldn't go, you should only walk around the outside of the supermarket, outside sort of aisles and not go through the middle part because that's just basically junk, not only for your bodies, but, you know, also it's just everything is just packaged in plastic or, you know, that sort of stuff. So, you know, if you have a look at aisles and aisles normally of supermarkets, you know, things like, say, your cleaning aisle, it's just everything is just in little bottles or like it's all plastic, plastic or single use, or once it's used, it can't get reused.
Yeah.
And so, you know, something I guess that has been quite a big topic in Australia as well is that we can't really trust our recycling process at the moment. So, you know, each person can really do their bit by, you know, yes, there might be a recycling process. Yes, we're a little bit iffy on what that actually is and where our stuff's going and what's being, you know, recycled. But if you can divert some of that stuff in the first place by reusing a jar, a container, and, you know, refilling stuff, you know, that's way better than just the put it in that recycle bin and hope for the best.
For sure.
Kind of scenario that.
For sure. You only have to think about, you know, like all the stuff that you fill up your recycling bin with on a weekly, fortnightly basis and realize like that's just one household. And if I'm throwing out, you know, bottles of window cleaner and shampoo and all those kinds of things that we just take for granted that we just buy a new one, even if you are buying refillable, you know, how like you can buy like refills now without the spray part. You're still buying the bottle of plastic. It's almost the same. So if you just buy, you know, a few glass bottles, spray bottles, or keep some old jars around in containers, you can make your own cleaning products and self-care, personal care stuff pretty easily. And then you're eliminating all that wastage and all the chemicals that are in that store-bought stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, my kitchen pantry is just, it's just reused jars. You know, it probably doesn't look, you know, Pinterest worthy, but it's a mix and match of everything goes into like an old container, an old jar, you know, that sort of stuff. We reuse that, stuff. Jars, you know that, like, you know, it's great to pass on jars and stuff to people who make, you know, like jams or you know, fermented veg or, you know, that sort of stuff that can get reused over and over again. So that's what I think we did talk about that in one of our first episodes, actually. We talked about, you know, just being conscious about what you're purchasing. So if you are going to buy like a pasta sauce, you know, maybe get the one that's got the jar that's in the glass jar, because it can be reused for something else.
Yeah.
You know, like I reuse my glass jars for everything.
These days it's there's more and more stores popping up where you can go and use your own jars to get like bulk foods and that kinds of thing as well. So, you know, you can take it with you, take those jars and containers if they're large enough with you. Or buy bulk foods in like paper and then transfer them to your pantry, to your reusable jars when you get home. So let's start. Maybe we'll start with the kitchen. So we've got the jars and the containers.
So that's a definite one, where they can either be products bought in jars, products rebought in those jars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's enough. You know, like I go and get our weekly kind of corn kernels from a bulk store. But some of the big supermarkets will actually allow you to use, you know, like your bags and stuff, like your cloth bags that I take.
Mm-hmm.
I can get like nuts and stuff that are all just in those.
The dispensers, self-serve.
Yeah. And you do it yourself. So, I mean, no one's questioned me that I've been using my own jar or my own bag. So there are some options there. You don't have to go to an organic, you know, bulk source store. And if there's nothing around you, there are still some options. Have a look in your supermarket. There may still be some options there. Or ask if you're going to get those options. Maybe.
By the way, I actually rang up one of the Woolworths stores and asked them, because one of my friends and our listeners messaged me about wanting to go and get some ham for his lunch, and he took a photo of the wasted plastic and paper that he got just for two slices of ham, and he goes, all of this just so that I could make a sandwich. He goes, what are my options? How else can I do this? He's a cab driver, so he's all over Melbourne and doesn't have like a local deli that, you know, he's going to call into all the time. So I called up the Woolworths where he went and I asked them if they allowed him to bring his own container, or anyone to bring their own container to put deli stuff in. And the manager had to go and follow it up and call head office and call me back. And he did call me back, which I was surprised about. And he said that it used to be up to the discretion of the store manager, but recently they've now had a bit of a head office clamp down on it, that because they can't verify the cleanliness of the containers, they have to give it a blanket rule that the answer is a no, you can't bring your own containers. And they're just super worried about being sued, essentially. But he said it's always up for revisiting. So the more people that inquire about it, if the demand is there enough, perhaps we'll be able to change their minds. So I don't know what to say to that. But if you are shopping at a big supermarket and you do go to the deli, maybe just mention it to the staff there and say, you know, it'd be really cool if we could bring our own containers, and so we're not wasting the plastic or the paper. And hopefully if enough of us start to say something, it might build a bit of a movement. I don't know.
I did hear someone was trying to do that at, like, I think it was Coles, And they said, you know, they said, look, there's no, there's actually no law about being able to bring your own container.
Mm.
But what they said was it's actually Coles law.
Coles law. Oh, my God.
So I guess that's Woolworth law. They've got their own law. They've got their own law enforcement.
Well, he actually, the manager actually initially said to me that, oh, no, it's it goes against health and safety regulations. And I said, actually, it doesn't. I go, there's actually no law that prevents us from bringing our own container. And he's like, oh, okay, let me follow it up then. And that's when he left and hung up and rang me back. And he goes, no, you're right. But it's a...
So Mary fact-checked that one for him.
Good on you, bloody Mary. Yeah, so Mary fact-checked it, and so he made up his own law, Woolworth's law.
Right. Anyway. Yeah, Woolworth's law. I love that your friend is trying to think of other ways. You know what I mean? Like, I know that that's still, there is still, he's still using the plastic and he's attempted and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, that kind of, it sort of warms my heart when I think that, you know, like that someone said, well, they're really conscious. What's another way? Well, another way actually probably could be to cook up a chicken at the start of the week and to shred that chicken, and that's what he has in his sandwich instead of ham.
Sure.
That might be another one. You know, and good on you for following that up. But that might be something as well that we're a lot of in the deli section. I think that's where we do see a lot of that plastics.
Yeah, it's just a big opportunity, isn't it? And it's just another example of where the system is kind of set up for us to fail. So we need to try and do everything we can, but we also need to also put pressure on maybe changing the system a little bit so that we don't have to battle it all the time. Anyway, we digress. But let's go back to the kitchen. So maybe we can talk about some of the recipes that we've come across or use to wash dishes. Because that's what we love to do, don't we?
All the time. Oh, yes. So I make my own dishwashing powder. It doesn't take long at all to make.
And this is this is the one that goes in the dishwasher, right? This is the powder. So instead of using those tablets or the powder that you buy to go in the dishwasher,
that a lot of the time are singly wrapped.
Yeah.
You know, it's bicarb soda, salt, electric soda, citric acid, and then essential oils.
Yes, sure, I make that too.
You know, so four basic ingredients that you can get from any supermarket, but I tend to buy that stuff in bulk so that then I can make it and have it there. You know, I might make a couple of months' worth and have that there ready to go, the same as and the laundry powder is quite similar, but we're focusing on the kitchen because otherwise we're going to get sidetracked. And I also take, which I shared with our community on I think our Instagram or Facebook page, one of those, I take
dishwashing
liquid.
Yep.
I go to like a bulk place and I take my own jar and I get that filled up. And I pop it into a reusable pump container.
Yep.
And the reason why I do that is because it limits the overusage of stuff. So quite often, you know, like if you've got a squeezy bottle, you give it a big squeeze and you may have actually used like twice, three times, four times the amount than you actually need.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of the stuff that I kind of make, like the dishwashing powder or even the dishwashing liquid, or make or use, it might not sud hugely, but don't actually need, that's like, we don't actually need suds to make things clean. That's just kind of like a advertising, you know, sort of thing that's been drilled into us that you need to have the suds in order to have things cleaned. So that's a really easy one. You can also, you know, you can get stuff in like bulk and then share it with your mates as well. Mm. You know what I mean? Like you could get a 4-litre container of dishwashing liquid and then share it around. Mm. You know, like there's other ways of doing little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can make your own as well. Soap nuts is another one that you can make your own dishwashing liquid.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of soap nuts?
Yeah, I read about them this morning actually.
So they're little, like that's probably the most natural way that you would make your own dishwashing liquid or your laundry powder and stuff. And there actually is, it's quite simple. I'm going to start doing that once I finish what I purchased in the dishwashing liquid. I'm going to start making my own out of the soap nuts, which is just the soap nuts soaked, and then you're adding water.
Mm.
So, and you use it like that for the dishwashing.
There obviously are a lot of cleaning products that you guys can, we all can do ourselves. Obviously the kitchen's a big one. That's where we tend to, I keep a lot of my cleaning products, my floor cleaner, my spray and wipe type general all purpose cleaner, your dishwashing cleaners, so on. But essentially I just wanted to list a couple of basic ingredients, and a lot of DIY cleaning products are made of these natural ingredients. So basically you use a lot of white vinegar, some Castile soap, sea salt, bicarb soda, olive oil, lemons, essential oils, and water. And just with those ingredients, there'll be a couple that you might need to add for specific cleaners, but just with those ingredients, you can pretty much clean anything in your house.
Absolutely. That's, you know, like, so by keeping your, you know, your lemon rind and your orange peels and all that sort of stuff, I mean, you can just start collecting that stuff into a jar or a container when you've used it, put it in the freezer, and when you're ready to make your own cleaner, you know, you've got it there handy, ready to go.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, your peels. Or, you know, if you're not into making your own, I mean, you know, I used to have a business where, you know, that was, you know, about just concentrated options, you know, so I used to get a little bottle and it would actually make up like 2.5 litres worth of cleaning product. You know, there are companies out there that, you know, where you're not, majority of the stuff that you get from the supermarket is water.
Mm.
So, you know, that was one of our big messages, was why are we paying quite high end price for water from the supermarket? Mm. You know, when you can sort of make your own, or you can refill, you can just get a concentrated version and then you can refill it as well.
Yeah.
So I still advocate for that, to be honest. You know, I do use, I'm probably, you know, because I ran that business for so long, I've still got excess stock that I use. So I haven't really made my own cleaning products at this point. You haven't really needed to. But what I do remember is that, you know, like I would buy a little concentrate that was maybe 125 mil, and that would make up, you know, 2.5 litres worth of cleaning product, which lasted ages, you know, a long, long, long time. So there, you know, there's some of the options that people could look at as well, is about getting stuff that's concentrated, particularly that Castile soap. That can be used for like hundreds of things.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. And you can just get the pure form of it, like not scented, or I was going to say flavoured, but just the pure stuff, and it's so multi-purpose. You can put it in so much stuff. It's amazing. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
And just to add to what you were saying too about other cleaning products, definitely the use of high-quality cleaning cloths and tea towels maybe even makes such a big difference. You're not buying the cheap stuff that doesn't last. If you're buying good quality cloths, you can get some fantastic branded microfiber stuff that not only works super efficiently, but will withstand, you know, washing and reusing and washing and reusing over and over again. Makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Like that. Yeah. A good microfiber, invest in a good microfiber. That is huge tip.
Yeah.
Because, and not, probably not any that you get from Bunnings or the supermarket, to be honest.
No.
You know, good microfiber might cost you like $20, but you'll be able to reuse that stuff over and over again, versus if you probably weighed up all of those, you know, like those chucks or those little single flimsy ones that you just, you know, throw away, you know, like it would cost you more than that $20, let me tell you what, you know, way more every year.
Of course. And also those cloths, like, you know, your sponges and that kind of thing breaks down into microplastics and stuffs up the waterways as well. So they're bad news.
And they're actually filled with chemicals too.
Mm.
We are also trying to phase out tissues in our household.
Yes.
Think about single-use tissues. So I'm a big fan of a hanky now. Harvey is, my four-year-old as well. He prefers a hanky than a tissue. James, we're getting there. And Scotty, no, still working on. Using a hanky instead of tissues, I mean, that just, like, you know, like it's obviously limits the waste. A lot of people aren't into hankies, I get that. But have a lot, and if you only want to use, you know, your hanky for half a day, then just get a new hanky. Mm-hmm. But you can buy hankies, obviously, but you can also make them out of things. So old bed sheets would be just as good, or T-shirts, or, you know, that sort of stuff that you can actually just cut them up, even if not necessarily need to overlock them around the edges, but you definitely could. You know, to kind of give them, seal that seam. But you can just cut them up and have them ready there to go.
Mm.
Rather than something like a, you know, a bed sheet, or, you know, over that getting tossed, you know, you're actually repurposing that and reusing that as well.
Yeah, I like that. And the other thing is too, apparently I learnt recently that tissues and paper towels have a chemical in them that stops them from disintegrating when they get wet. So that actually means that they can't be recycled. So you can't put them, even though you think that they're kind of like a paper product, whatever, come from trees, you can't put them in your recycling because they don't respond to the process to break them back down again. So
it makes sense though, doesn't it? Because the tissue's quite firm, soft but firm. So obviously there is some chemical aspect in there to make it like that.
So
if you can eliminate that, I mean, that's a win, man.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I mean, you know, Scott's nana, I've got one of her hankies. You know, like, old people kind of knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
In that aspect. Some of that. You know, so that's one of the things. Tissues, convert to, you know, get rid of them, try and make it hankies instead.
On that too, just that's a nice segue into the bathroom, because you can also, instead of just cutting up sheets for hankies, you can cut up old towels and make them into face wipes or face washers.
Yes. Which is, yeah, like that's a really easy one. You know, quite often we've got old towels and then it's sort of like, where do you want to send them? I mean, you can send old towels to the lost dogs home tend to take them, you know, that sort of stuff. But, you know, if you need face washes as well, rather than buying them, I mean, you just repurpose, chop it all up. When I worked in childcare, that was one of the big projects that I implemented was we became paper towel free. And that was also the same childcare centre that did the nappy wipes, made our own nappy wipes and stuff too. And so by doing paper towel free, we got parents. The first step was to get parents to donate old towels, right? And then we basically chopped them up so that they could become face washers, create face washers, but also create little mini hand towels. And we would chop them up and sew overlocked around the edge with a little elastic loop. And then they could hang that up on their hook and use that for the day, rather than when every time they wash their hands, they would use, you know, a paper towel, which they might wash their hands like 10 times a day. So it's one hand towel versus 10 paper towels.
Yeah, love it.
And kids never grab just one paper towel, FYI. even adults don't as well.
No.
I shouldn't single out the children, but, you know, even adults, you know, you go to a public toilet and you grab a paper towel. Quite often you'll grab two, three to dry your hands.
Yeah.
You know, what I want to start to do actually is carry like a little face washer in my handbag for those scenarios, so that we can just wipe, you know, when we can wipe our hands after we've gone to a public toilet or something like that. I mean, we do the, in this, we, which I've noticed, thing more in the winter. That's becoming more of a, like, we kind of need something to wipe our hands with. In summer, we used to just, like, we have the, you know, shake it 11 times kind of rule. I say to my kids, you know, shake your hands 11 times after you wash them.
Yeah, we just shake. You know? I just try and tell them to shake. Like, hurry up, get out of there. I don't want to hang around in there any longer than I need to. Let's go. They'll dry in 2 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I reckon I spend half my life in toilets. I mean, one, because I have a very weak bladder and I go to the toilet myself a lot. But also my kids just, like, I'll sit down. They're like, I need to go to the toilet. Oh, yeah, toilet. Hang around in there. Mm. What's that? What's this? I'm like, let's talk outside.
Yeah.
Enough.
It's the worst. Oh, I hate it.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a bit of a rant. And so, yeah, making your own face wipes, face washes.
Or makeup wipes, right, because they're another one that you buy that in a plastic packet and they're single use and you throw them out. You can buy some really nice bamboo soft ones for your face, or you can repurpose some of your old cloths that you think would be okay and then just throw them in the wash, wash them, reuse them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like things like cotton balls and cotton buds as well for, like, your ears and, you know, anything else, any other things that you would use a cotton bud for.
Yeah, I saw this company that just on that called The Last Swab, or I think they're called Last Swab, which isn't kind of...
that's an unfortunate
name. A really unfortunate name, but it's the idea of it is that it's the last cotton bud or swab that you'll ever need to buy, because it's made out of like a silicon... I don't know, silicon kind of soft end, and it comes in its own little holder. So you can use it to whatever, like clean your ears or clean away makeup off your eyes, and then just wash it and put it in its little container, and you can just reuse it over and over again. So that was cool.
Yeah, I did see that. And then, you know, like it was quite interesting because the comments were like, oh, you know, like that people were freaking out. But then I think, well, we have reusable menstrual cups. What's the difference?
Yeah.
This one's going in, the other one's going up your vagina. Like,
absolutely. It's all bodily fluids. Yeah.
So strange. People are strange.
People are strange. That's why we love them.
But yeah. The other thing is probably around a lot of your beauty products, you know, like the individual packaging that a lot of, like, makeup removers, you know, like that sort of stuff. So whatever you can make on your own, there are lots of little DIY recipes for good makeup removers. Coconut oil is a great one to remove makeup, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, coconut oil is also good as a bit of a base to making your own toothpaste. One, you know, like that it may not be great for us, what we're putting onto our skin. I think we need to be really conscious about that.
Mm.
It'd be great for the individual. So it's quite, you need to be quite careful about, you know, the ingredients that we are putting into our system and putting chemical burden into our system. We also need to be quite conscious about what's going down the sink. So that's the same as cleaning products, man, like bleaches and your sprays and all that sort of stuff. That all washes into our, it goes directly either down the sink or into our waterways. You know, so we need to be really careful about that stuff. For what we're cleaning. So it's not just about being repurposing and reusing what we might already have in the home and simplifying our ingredients to save money or to, you know, that sort of stuff, but it's actually not good for our ecosystem to be pouring those chemicals down.
Absolutely.
Down
there.
Like, can you imagine with billions of people in the world that just everyone just pours bleach down their sink and that's a common thing?
Yeah.
You know, that's not, that's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's just, it's stripping all the little microbes and stuff that it's killing them, and it's just upsetting the balance, isn't it? Because it's such a fine balance, this whole ecosystem of ours. And you learn how, you know, just upsetting one little thing out of it can really disrupt the whole system. So we just need to be mindful of what our contribution to that is and if it's going to be a good one or a bad one. Just quickly, I also bought for my kids a shampoo bar rather than using shampoo bottles, because I found that if I let them go in the shower, they were very liberal in their shampoo allocation. And also they don't have specific needs for their hair, like purple shampoo for blonde and all that sort of stuff. So I bought just an all-purpose shampoo bar that you just rub on their hair, and it foams up really nicely, so they feel like they're washing their hair nicely. And that's been really good. It lasts forever, and it has eliminated one little bottle that I keep buying. And if you look on the ingredients of shampoo, who knows what all that stuff is. It's just a constant big list of chemicals. So that's a really cool thing to do.
I haven't tried those shampoo bars. I probably should try it on the kids.
Yeah, try it on the kids. Oh, it didn't work for me because it stripped the colour out of my hair, because it's not, you know, specifically formulated for that. But you can get ones that are for coloured hair and that kind of thing. But I thought I'll just buy the normal everyday one and try it on the kids. And it works really well, especially on the boys. It's like really easy and quick for them. And you just grab the bar and like rub it over their head a couple of times and it's done. They're done.
So. That's good. Mm. That's good. And if you could just do it for the kids, like you said, like they're so like liberal with their like pumping. They just think it's a bit of a game to pump that, you know, shampoo or conditioner and all the liquid soap. And you just all of a sudden you're like, you've just gone through like a whole like half a bottle for you know, in one shower or bath or So let's just quickly just mention about the laundry. So one thing that we forgot to mention on the Sustain a Baby episode was we forgot to mention about the use of plastic bags to bag dirty clothes or, you know, that sort of stuff for kids. So maybe this is kind of a good segue into the laundry sort of part of the DIY, but also about reusing those reusable zipped up wet bags. You could actually get them from Kmart and Target and probably Big W. They're all kind of the same, aren't they? And but I got them off eBay, I think, and then we use that for putting any wet clothes, any soiled, dirty clothes. But that's so that they just go into that bag, we just chuck it into the laundry and it goes into the washing machine. So rather than using a plastic bag to bag up wet things.
Yep.
So that's kind of a good one.
That's and a great idea.
We talked about the soap nuts. So the soap nuts can be used in the kitchen as your dishwashing liquid or laundry, and they just go in a little bag, like maybe eight of them just go in a little bag in your washing machine as you do your load of washing. You know, a lot of the time people use extra stuff in their washing machine because we're overloading the washing machine too. You know, like I know that you might have a 7 kilo but washing machine, but you don't necessarily need to chuck in it jam-packed to the rim. You know, there needs to be some room for that water to be able to do what it needs to do and any other product you have in there. So the same with the soap nuts. They need a bit of room.
Yeah, for efficiency.
I've got like five kids and that's all they use. You know, family of seven and that's they've been using soap nuts for decades.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so good. But I make my own laundry powder and you're making your own laundry liquid, aren't you?
I'm actually not making it because I use your powder, but I looked it up for our listeners and you can guys just put 2 cups of grated soap flakes. My friend Kate makes this, I think, with the Lux soap flakes, which you just get in a bar and you can grate. 1 cup of...
Brummer soap.
What's
you
that?
Use that. You could grate that too. The Dr. Brummer bars of soap.
Oh, the bars. Yep, yep, absolutely. Right. Pure soap flakes.
Yep.
1 cup of electric soda, and you put that in a pot with about 1.5 litres of water, and you heat that up until the soap flakes all dissolve. You then chuck it in a bucket and add 8 litres of cold water. And mix it through, let it cool right down. And at that point, you can add in any essential oils if you wanted to have a certain smell. And then just kind of just transfer that into empty bottles, like vinegar bottles or whatever, and label them. And that's your liquid laundry detergent.
So does that make up like over 8 litres?
Yeah, it actually makes about 10 litres. 10 litres.
Wow.
So, and you can use about, I think it's about half a cup, like quarter to half a cup per wash. So it will last a while. It also comes out quite thick, so that's normal. It's almost like a laundry gel rather than a really runny liquid, but that's okay. Once you put it in with the wash, it will all disperse. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I might have to give that recipe a bit of a go just to mix things up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, been using the powder for a long time, which is fine. I mean, seems to be fine.
Yeah, the powder's really good. Washes my clothes really well.
Yeah, so the powder's almost, like, that's pretty simple. It's similar. I think it's bicarb soda, electric soda, castile soap.
Yeah, so that recipe specifically is 2 cups of electric soda, 2 cups of bicarb soda, 1/2 cup of castile soap, just the pure unscented form. And then I usually put in 2 or 3 different essential oils and about 10 drops of each. So I like a floral kind of aroma for my clothes. So I usually put like lavender, or I think I've got geranium, bergamot. But you could put in lemon for some fresh smelling clothes, tea tree oil, anything like that.
So I think that's a good comprehensive list, you know, of imagine all those bottles of things that you've saved and diverted from landfill or recycling or Malaysia or Indonesian waterways. Who knows where a lot of that shit goes?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I think that's a good comprehensive list. But as always, we'd love to hear what other people are doing. You know, we're just still exploring this area, and we can always get better and have more knowledge on it. And there are some amazing people out there doing amazing things. So please share. Oh, you know what else we didn't mention?
What?
Was in the kitchen about not using cling wrap and making your own
beeswax wraps.
Yeah. So another thing is in the kitchen is beeswax wraps, or you can actually get them not with like they're a vegan option, like a coconut oil wax wrap.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of them.
So, you know, you can actually purchase. So you could just purchase some, you know, some beeswax wraps to wrap. There's some cool, a whole bunch of companies out there that are doing it. We got sent some samples, and I think you gifted them away as part of prize for your Climate for Change crowdfunder
thing
that you were doing as well.
Yeah, so thank you so much to Dotixa Industries, who sent us a couple of their beeswax wraps that they sell on their website. And they were certainly well appreciated by my prize winners.
But you can also make your own. If you're not too fussed on the quality, like I made a whole batch of my own, and that's really, really simple. It's grated beeswax tipped onto some fabric and then ironed down
to melt the wax.
I think that's all I might have used. Can't remember. Anyway, there is recipes there. I've probably got another video. I think I've got a video on my Instagram, but I can share that across to Sustainable You. Of, you know, just making your own, and particularly good to make your own because you might get your size of your bowls or your plates or whatever you particularly might use to cover food, you know, like use like a cling wrap or a plastic stuff, you know, like that's quite good to make your own. Or just a contain, like containers for, you know, for leftovers or freezing stuff, just a bowl and a plate on top.
Yes, easy in the fridge or in the microwave even. That's how you can warm stuff up so easy. Because we really want to try and avoid the use of cling wrap, don't we? Because we can't put cling wrap into the squishy plastics anymore.
No, so if you're using cling wrap, it's going straight to landfill.
Yeah, so no good.
Straight to break down into our, and eventually we'll break down into microplastics and... Yeah, I read an article the other day on it was in National Geographic about the microplastics. You know, I'm learning a lot more about that microplastic stuff. I was probably a little bit naive and wanted, you know, like I didn't know much about it. But the impact that plastic, and when it breaks down into the teeny tiny little bits, what impact that actually has, because eventually it looks like when you compare it to, say, like what a teeny tiny little bit of food for a fish might
yeah,
be.
It's just almost the same as plankton. Yeah.
You know, so that's where that concern about microplastics in the ocean, our fish aren't getting bigger, they're not getting, you know, we're losing the, we're obviously overfishing, but we're also losing whatever fish we have because they're not getting past the fact that half their food is plastic.
Mm. Mm.
So they're not getting bigger, and then they're not, and then in turn the big fish aren't getting fed, and then the, you know, like it's that, you know, we've all seen that picture of those whales that have their stomachs are filled with plastic.
Yeah, it's horrific. Yeah.
It's so horrific.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a terrible image this morning of these polar bears. It's like a little group of polar bears, probably about 10 of them. They're on like a, they could be, there's somewhere where polar bears live, like the Antarctic or something, or on a beach. And there's just waves of plastic coming in. So they're just rummaging through plastic for food.
Stop. Really? Polar bears?
Yeah.
Far out.
Yeah. It's just like,
what's the, you know, coming to?
It's the importance of what we're doing, you know, like our day-to-day actions and the limiting of the plastics that we use. You know, yes, we might feel like we're just one person, but if we can kind of start to make those changes, and we're not purchasing those products anymore, and we're not going to start going to those delis, and we're not going to, you know, buy that individual stuff, companies are going to have to start to change the way that they package stuff for us to then kind of come back and go, okay, I'll start to consume that again. Yeah.
I agree with you totally. Like, I think, you know, sure, we are only individuals, but at the end of the day, I want to be able to close my eyes and go to sleep knowing that I didn't personally put one of those bottles in the ocean, or, you know what I mean? Like, I did not help that happen today. And if everybody can think that about themselves, then pretty soon the companies that are going to want our money are going to have to make changes, because we're just not going to be buying them anymore. And they want to continue to make profits. So let the market-driven economy make the changes that need to be done.
Yes, we might bitch and moan and sort of, you know, say that the companies and stuff aren't doing anything. But, like, I think that, you know, the messages are starting to get out there.
Yeah, I agree. I've never heard the environment be so talked about every day than I do now. So
yeah, but do you think it's because we're just so conscious about it, or do you think that, like,
I went to the Cairo this morning and he said, oh, what have you been up to? And I was telling him about the fundraiser I did for Climate for Change, and he goes, oh, so were you out lying down in the streets protesting on that other day? I go, no, I wasn't. I was busy that day, but otherwise I would have been there. And we got talking about how, you know, how comical it can look when people lie down in the streets and pretend to be dead. But on top of that, he goes, but, you know, it is an important issue. And he goes, and I think, like, the movement's already started. He goes, you're hearing about it every day, like, in some form or another. He goes, more and more people are bringing it into mainstream conversations. And so I think for us, yeah, we hear about it every day because we choose to be submersed into it. But for the everyday person, if he's, like, he's not really into it as such, but he's telling me that he's hearing about it every day. So I think it is out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we want to hear from you. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear how your home works, what your DIY recipes are. Everyone's got their own little spin and swing and, you know, sort of, you know, different advices. So share it. Keep on sharing it out to us and to our community. We love getting your feedback.
And we might
absolutely
post.
Absolutely love getting feedback.
We do. We've had some actually really fantastic feedback from people all around the world, which is super trippy. How's that email we got from Canada? Rat.
Oh, my God. Lindsay from Canada.
Absolutely
Hi,
rat.
Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
Love you.
You really made my day when I read that, Lindsay.
Oh, same, Lisa.
Yeah.
I was like, just so amazing
touched.
That the message that we are trying to share with people can can translate to anywhere in the world. And obviously things are a little bit different and we're just going from our experience, but it's obviously a passion of ours and it's obviously coming across. And people other than our family members are finding our podcast.
Absolutely. It's growing and it's cool. It's really awesome.
It's really cool.
We might post a couple of our recipes too, yeah, on our social media platforms and maybe on our website. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us this week. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you've got some information that you can now take away and share with your own communities and networks. And we look forward to speaking to you again in a couple of weeks and helping you to become a more sustainable,
you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or you can email us at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created and produced by Lisa and Jackie.